John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
It's always good to say that Chris Epting is on the line. Good morning, Chris.
Hey there, John. How are you and the crew?
We are doing well. The crew, are you doing?
The crew's hanging.
Chris? Serviceable.
Okay. Serviceable today. All right, well, let's see what you can do to perk up the crew.
All right, crew, this one's for you.
I know how much you love the Stones. You've done books on the Stones. We're going to get to the world's greatest cowbell song?
Thanks to the Saturday Night Live sketch, right? Cowbell became such a part of our culture. But I don't think, Don't Fear the Reaper, while they use, credible cowbell, to me it all gets back to 1969 and Honky Tonk Woman. Because really, when you think about what that sound did to usher in, I think, one of the great songs of the era, it was the cowbell. You know, at that point it was kind of a daring way to start a song, to not just start it with the music, but with a cowbell.
And an odd beat at that.
And the reason the beat is kind of strange, it's not Charlie Watts playing it. The Stones at that point had started working with a young producer named Jimmy Miller, who was super innovative, very creative, and really left his fingerprints across their, I think, that strong set of albums from Beggar's Banquet into, like, Goat's Head Zubira. But that's him playing the cowbell, and he kicks the song off, which is interesting the Stones would even let somebody else do that. That's the trust they had on this kid. And he was a kid. He's in his early 20s at that point.
Wow.
The other one in his early 20s was Mick Taylor. This is the first record that Mick Taylor plays on. So this song ushers in the new era of the Stones. It's released on the day Brian Jones dies, July 3rd, 1969. So it really does kind of represent, I think, that demarcation line between the old Stones and the new guard. And they actually gave it out as the single when the Stones played their big July 4th Hyde Park concert that year. The single was given out for free to hundreds of thousands of people that showed up. The song itself, I mean, for me, still sounds, fresh and amazing. And really, defines the Stones in a lot of ways. But what I think is really interesting about it is it's sort of attached to another rock and roll moment in the early 70s. And you probably know the story behind Rick Nelson's Garden Party, right?
Well, it had to do with garden parties and people that he had to deal with. But didn't this have something to do with Madison Square Garden also?
Ricky Nelson played a show, kind of a package show, featuring Chuck Berry and Little Richard, kind of artists from, at that point, were kind of oldies. And Rick Nelson shows up at the Garden, and, as he mentions, John Lennon's there, Yoko's there, everything. But what happens is he gets booed off the stage. And the reason is he doesn't just show up to play his hits. Rick Nelson didn't want to get locked into sort of a jukebox time capsule. So he broke the rules. And the song that got him booed off the stage was his cover of Honky Tonk Woman.
Oh, my God.
So the song is just interesting in that it touches a lot of people today. But the fact that Rick Nelson used it as his sort of statement to say, no, I'm not going to be everything you want me to be. I'm going to kind of go a step further, I think just kind of shows the magic of the song. There's a lot going on, but hey, it all starts with the cowbell. That's what kicks it off, and that's what really makes that sound magical, I think.
I think I'm hearing cowbell now. He is Chris Epting, the author of If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Help Describe the 70s, and this is the Rolling Stones.